This is a Venkat Studio production.
Welcome, welcome to episode 14 of Riding the Climb. I'm Hondo, here with MTG and Guy. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Week four of the NBA season. You guys ready to go? Ready to do the rundown?
I'm already running. Where are you at?
I'm waddling.
We're just waddling. Just going. All right, so traditionally, we've been recording on Saturdays for the last couple of weeks. Today, we're recording Sunday, the 20th. So we're going to actually run through, starting from the 13th, some notable games that happened over the last week. First off, let's get started with our boy Andrew Wiggins dropping 47 versus the Lakers.
Looking like a young Kobe.
Unbelievable.
Career high. Couldn't be stopped.
No, absolutely.
I think he was told to be more aggressive, and he got more aggressive. Pretty awesome. He's been quoted to saying, like, the game has kind of slowed down for him a little bit. And
yeah.
You can kind of see it. I want to get your thoughts on Thibodeau sometime in this podcast.
We'll break it down.
Because I'm getting a little concerned.
Yeah,
let's go.
Okay. All right. We'll continue on. Serge Ibaka hits a game winner versus OKC. Magic over OKC. It's just these damn rivalry games. You can't predict them, man.
Oh, well, it's not a rivalry until, like, you trade your star to the other team, right? Well, OKC and Magic weren't really rivals.
Yeah, but Ibaka went to the Magic, and it's just like when they go back to spell revenge, revenge is had. That's what's happening this season.
That's for sure, yeah.
Hey, the 14th, Pelicans win over Boston. Like, Pelicans just decided to start winning again, and we're going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty cool stuff happened towards the end of the week, but we're going to get into it. Boy, Davis is kind of coming back with a vengeance again. I mean, he's kind of up and down. He can go for those supreme nights, but man, he can be a force if he stays with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that he's playing right now, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, an MVP candidate with who else has kind of run the league.
Right.
So Grizz over the Jazz, Clippers take another one. They take this one over the Nets. I mean, that's not much to be said there. Moving on to the 15th, Chicago plays Portland. And I believe is that the game that we watched together?
No.
Okay.
You were sending some tweets about it, but.
Oh, no. Oh, that's the one that we live tweeted. If you want to go back, Portland social media is not caring for us much anymore. Charlotte. Kind of takes over Minnesota in another game on the 15th. Cleveland beats Toronto in a very, very close game. LeBron is playing pretty tremendously in that game. 16th, dude, 76ers, Washington. I don't know, man. I don't know. 76ers dump Washington. Whatever. We'll get back into that one. Damn it. Indiana over Cleveland. Like, how am I supposed to predict this? I'm going to break down this later on in my segment.
I feel a ramble coming.
Oh, man. From the 16th, though, we started heavily tracking the omens. So these are starters that score 0 points, and we have some pretty big numbers. Omer, the original Oman Osick, is kind of leading the effort there. Jeff Green, Deron Williams, Nurik, like, all kind of, Nurkic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce shit today.
How about you watch a Denver game?
I still can't pronounce it. Like, he had to do in the earlier episodes, he had to do stuff to translate it for me. So, so they're now part of the old man's club. So they're going to be jacket members if they keep going at it
that.
Moving on to the 17th, dude. Oh, damn it, I cannot predict this. Washington over New York. Like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Miami over Milwaukee. The Bulls over the Jazz. I think, this was the one that we watched
together. Yeah.
This is the one that we watched together. We watched a huge win, Minnesota over Philly, mm-hmm. which is a fun game to watch. Harden had a pretty awesome performance on Thursday with a triple-double in that win over Portland. It's always fun to introduce Matthew Dellavedova to the old man. Absolutely. 18th. So this is Friday night, the Friday night games. Hornets, they beat Atlanta. I mean, boy, those teams are looking good, and I'll let you guys kind of have some takes on that in a second here. Damn it. Phoenix Indy. I wish this game was just thrown out of the league and thrown out of the schedule. New Orleans over Portland.
Airport
sorry about that. Thank you. Thank you for throwing in the airport code, completely throwing me.
Flying to Portland once.
I don't need to fly into Portland. I'll take the train. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. There's going to be a lot of post-production going on here. The Warriors clobbered the Celtics, which I thought would be a much closer game. And to last night's games, Houston edges Utah. The Pelicans take another one, but they took a pretty good one against Charlotte. Miami takes out Washington, but there's some absolutely insane performances from John Wall and Bradley Beal combined for 68 points. Golden State beats Milwaukee, but Milwaukee plays close, which is a really...
It was an amazing game. Probably my game of the week.
And the Clippers actually mount a comeback to take Chicago. And there's some pretty good performances from Chicago's side, but the Clips are just on a tear.
Yep.
So, all right. Thoughts, concerns?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like some rising teams. We're seeing Miami kind of show its stuff. We're seeing Golden State kind of ever since the drought from three from Curry. We're seeing him kind of on a tear. We're seeing the Clippers stay, you know, very poised at the top. I think we're seeing a resurgence of the Pelicans and Memphis. And
you're saying a resurgence of the Pelicans?
That's a strong word.
I would
using the R word?
I would say, like, yeah, a rebound off the bottom, a dead cat bounce,
if
you will.
Thank you. That's where I was just going with that. That's okay. Totally dead cat bounce.
Well, you can edit my R words out.
Continue.
I agree with you on Memphis, that's for sure.
No, hey, Memphis, I was watching, I just watched that Memphis-Minnesota game. Zach Randolph was just incredible in that game last night. Holy cow. He could just, like, wherever he was shooting from, he was making it. And
I'm a biased Wolves fan, and I had to turn that off at halftime.
it was impossible
to watch.
Yeah, because his just short jumpers, he was making everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. Continue on, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like I said about Pelicans and Grizzlies, I would say, like, Charlotte kind of stayed even keel a little bit, didn't really move the needle a little bit at all. And I think Atlanta saw some difficulties recently. I think they lost today and they lost a couple days ago against, Charlotte and a couple other games. So they've been kind of slumping a little bit.
Yeah, but that's really buying into that Atlanta optimism too early in the season, so... Just let them work that out. They'll be a 500 team before too long.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me, I thought Memphis played really well this week. I think they might have lost one game, but they came up on top on the other ones. Hornets also looked good to me. They, you know, beat ATL, beat Minnesota. And they've really surprised me. Obviously, I didn't have them doing a whole lot this season, and they've been at the top tier of the East so far. Minnesota, I mean... Even though they're a little bit up and down in terms of the win-loss column, they just continue to look solid. It's just about that consistent push through four quarters that they haven't been able to mount so far. Still a lot of parity, the same as we talked about a couple weeks back. It's just like New York beats somebody, and then they lose to somebody worse. And then, you know, like Portland is on a slump right now, just getting beat by, like, the Pelicans. And how does that even make any sense? Chicago, you know, not drumming, but... They were pretty much in control that whole game against the Jazz, and then up big in LAC, and then LAC came back and made that happen.
It's going to be a crazy if this stays par for the course. The last 2-3 weeks of the season is going to be insane.
need some Xanax, anti-anxiety, like the same as when the trade offers were coming in July, we're trying to manage just thoughts and feelings like, oh my God, what just happened? Mm-hmm. Yep, that is going to happen
because
again.
We're seeing teams like Boston and Portland kind of slumping a little bit too, but they're still in the middle of the pack. Like they're not too worried.
That's what it feels like. I feel like everyone's in the middle of the pack. Yeah. I mean, you got like two or three teams in each conference that are like putting up 11-1s and 10-2s, but everyone else is just sort of that 7-6 and 6-5. You know, like that OKC Houston game was crazy.
Pivotal.
Right?
It's like
that dunk from Westbrook got to be up there on the dunk of the week.
That's an insane dunk.
But that felt like playoff basketball. That game Memphis won where Gasol hit that game winner and then did the McGregor shake.
Yeah.
Like, that was mean. And just so a lot of overtime games, a lot of close games. And so this week felt good. Felt like there was a lot of action going on. But it's just like everyone's in the middle of the pack. No one's really established themselves outside of, you know, Golden State, Cleveland.
Wow. All right, so let's get into a few more awesome moments for the week. So you talked about one, which was one of my favorites, that Gasol game winner. Dude, Blake Griffin's dunk last night over Robin Lopez. Or Brooke Lopez or Robin Lopez? Robin Lopez.
Robin.
Okay, Rolo.
Robin got the hair. Brooke got, you know, a jump shot and 20 injuries.
Okay. Yeah. That dunk was sick. That is an official Insane Dunks nominee. So... Horford's block game winner, man, just tremendous performance from him last night.
Top five.
Last
top
night,
five.
Was, yeah, he did the layup, off an offensive rebound or something.
Yeah, just a putback.
And then the game winning block.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk a little bit more about Al Horford and in the three man weave.
Yeah.
All right, so hit me up with the Embiid.
Embiebers, Fevers. Yo, 7 minutes in the first quarter because he's on a minute restriction, and he pulls out three threes, a couple dunks. 17 points in 7 minutes in the first quarter.
Who were they playing?
I
don't know. I don't know who they were playing, but like we saw them play against Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you put some people who are capable defenders on him, and you know he has no other teammates, so he was just kind of floundering, flailing, right? We didn't see a lot of good stuff from Embiid against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So like to me, this is a signal of a really young player that's like really streaky, right? He'll drop 17 in 7 minutes, and then he'll just put up a bunch of bricks, force a lot of things, and never pass the ball. So it's really interesting. I guess this is awesome moment, so I guess I better not take the piss out of this.
No, you're not. I mean, he ended the game with 26, so it's not like he kept going with momentum. But, man, that stream is just
You've completely belittled the awesome moments for the week.
Embiid, the god!
It was so mediocre.
I know!
I do want to talk. This is an awesome moment to me. I always like it when players come back. Jrue Holiday came back from being gone. I believe it was... He was supporting his wife who had cancer, correct?
Yeah, like a brain surgery.
Or brain surgery, okay. But it's awesome that he's back. He also adds some much, much needed depth to the Pelicans.
And Tyreek Evans is also coming back soon, too.
Sure.
I'm really offended that anyone compared his goggles to Horace Grant's. Those are clearly, they're not in the same ballpark. If you want to make a fair comparison on the goggles, Amari Stoudemire. Those are the Amaris.
Okay, okay.
Horace Grant got the OG classics.
Yes.
Let's not even... That's just disrespectful to the legends.
We got Kurt Rambis, Horace Grant, Amari Stoudemire.
Don't forget about the god, Kareem.
That's right.
You got the Kareem goggles.
Yeah, I started with Kurt Rambis. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you.
You started with Kurt Rambis. No one starts with Kurt Rambis.
I mean, you should have started with George Mikan, wearing actual glasses on the basketball court.
Sure.
Minneapolis Lakers.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments this week was three-point like circus with the Spurs versus I forgot who they were playing against. But it was like... Kawhi Leonard, to Manu Ginobili, to Paul Gasol, to something like Davis from Latvia, to who's their
Mills?
Australian? Patty Mills from Australia.
Yeah.
And it was like around the world on the three-point line. It was kind of funny. Just like the flavor, right, of that.
I like that.
Boom. Spice.
And man, you know, this is your boy Embiid.
Yeah, I keep dropping him in here.
No, just drop him. He threw down some awesome moments.
So 17 points in the first quarter. That same game he was against Phoenix. The same game, second quarter, there's a courtside fan who was wearing a Phoenix jersey at a Philly game.
Yeah.
He blocks the shot and hits the guy's head.
Okay.
This is the fan on the standing. And then he just goes like this, right in front of him.
Just
the
raises
crowd
the
is
roof.
Roaring, and it was just so awesome.
Just raises the roof because our symbology at our seats is not close your eyes and imagine Guy just flailing his arms.
He's flailing them like an Aztec priest summoning deities from another world.
That's incredible. I hope that's a segment every time.
It will be.
Notable stats. I thought this was funny that Mike Muscala is leading the league in like field goal percentage. I just like, how is that possible?
Nick Stauskas is second. You brought him out in the pod or on NBA Thursday, and all of a sudden he's just like on a tear.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know I had that kind of power, but he's going to be playing in China
no one
in
man
2 years. You know
can
what I'm
have
saying?
All that power.
China, Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah. So one of the really interesting stats, and I had to dig to find this, but I found out that DeRozan and Lowry are basically like leading the league in minutes per game, which is not that surprising given what they typically average, but the fact that there's two players on the same team putting in about 38 minutes a game, that's a lot of time.
It's a lot. It's high usage. But, I mean, has anybody seen Damari Carroll? I mean, put that man's face on a milk carton. I mean, that was the big free agent signing last year, and then he got injured, and then he comes back this year and can't do anything for them. I mean, Valanciunas is putting up numbers, but
yeah,
they got a good bench, but they got to rely on their two backcourt superstars.
He's got his money, but he ain't got his milk.
I like this other stat. I didn't come up with this one, but I think one of you you came up with this one. So the two of the leading MVP candidates, at least at this point, with Westbrook and Harden, are also responsible for two of the highest turnover ratios right now at 5.5 turnovers a game.
They're both leading the league.
Both leading the league.
I mean, but here's the thing, though. Harden's leading the league in assists, so his assist to turnover ratio is still actually really good. You can lead the league in turnovers and still have an excellent ratio.
All right, so we're introducing a new section of this weekend or of our gameplay here, and talking about kind of rising stars and falling hearts. So talking about the players that kind of made the come up this week and some players that really, really had just kind of disastrous performances.
Yeah, I would say players that we probably wouldn't normally talk about on the podcast or on any really, hardcore podcast. Players like Trevor Ariza, picking it up in steals in the top five, category.
Yep.
But I think that's being led by Chris Paul right now.
Sure.
So, that's a kind of a rising star. I would say that Wilson Chandler, finally healthy, finally playing meaningful minutes for Denver.
Yep.
He's kind of running away right now with the sixth man of the year.
Yep.
We got Cantor, we got Zach Randolph, we got some other people right now. But it's cool that we're seeing someone like Wilson Chandler just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's averaging 18 points or something like that. We're seeing Jabari Parker kind of showcase now out of nowhere, averaging 20 points a game. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah, and it's like we saw that athleticism and we saw that dominance from the Greek Freak, but we weren't seeing it from Parker, and it's kind of cool to see that again.
Yeah, and keeping on this, the hype train, Julius Randle had a triple-double the other day.
Man,
they're really exploiting the fact that they have Julius Randle on their team.
Yes.
And Luke Walton's getting the best out of him. I always really thought he could be like this power-forward version of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of looking at that like that.
Whoa.
Like homeless version of.
Okay. All right. That's
so,
more acceptable.
So I love the hype train. I'm going to give MTV the lackluster version of this, the falling hearts. So
who's MTV?
Yeah. Isn't that like some sort of like channel?
I don't know.
Damn it.
That existed back in the 80s and 90s.
Who did not perform this week?
Oh, you want to know who's falling hard this week?
Yes. Okay, fine.
Word.
Yes.
One, Ricky Rubio. One, Richard Ricardo Rubio. I mean, he's just not. He has glimpses. He has moments, right, where he's like showing some dazzling things. He doesn't play defense, and he gambles way too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy won't even be past half court. He's going for a steal. That's not appropriate. That man's Chris Paul. That's not going to work.
He has a career high in turnovers and a career low in assists right now.
What is
his role on our team?
He's still coming back from injury, though, right?
What a great ratio.
But I feel like it's a terrible ratio. It ain't no golden ratio. But let's talk about Thibodeau for just 1 second.
Bring it to me.
What does Thibodeau do with point guards?
Ruins them.
That's...
What does he do with small forwards? He ruins them. What does he do with power forwards? Ruins them. I mean, why? Let's ask the question. Why were the starters in the game that entire time versus Philadelphia? That was absurd.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
They should have been pulled
ridiculous.
Out at like the 6 minute mark in the third quarter, and it should have just been all bench play from
it
there on out.
It was trending by one person. Why keep the starters in the game, right?
Thank you. Why are the starters in the game? It's absurd. No, he's
30 point blowout.
This is, to me, it's a power move by him, right? It's the ego thing. It's totally about just like he only knows how to play basketball, how to coach basketball one way. He has one note, and it's a fucking megaphone, the foghorn,
that's
like blowing in people's ears continuously. He has there's no other levels. There's no smooth to Thibodeau. There's no tact. All it is that I'm gonna ride you till you're in the grave.
You have Ricky Rubio on your team. That he's like the god of pick and roll, and they don't even run pick and anything. He just hands it off.
It's pick and fail.
He just hands it off and then stands in the corner. That's his worst spot.
Yeah, that's he can't just stand strategy. Around. Can't have it. Nah,
he's not Derrick Rose. He's not, you know, DJ Augustine on offense for whatever reason. I'm putting him in the conversation.
Can we bring Nate Robinson back? And
yeah.
Just put him.
Well, we have him on Area 21. Not, you know.
Oh no.
Shooting jumpers over
Area 21 in my presence again.
Over dummies apparently, but one Greg Monroe. Logged a grand total of 2 minutes.
I mean, they paid all that money for him, too. I don't know. They haven't been able to work him into the rotation, get him, you know, the looks and touches that, you know, he should be getting. They just don't know how to work him into their offense, right? And so, that's to me, that's a failure a little bit on both sides. But it speaks a little bit to Jason Kidd about, you know, you can't do anything with your high-paid center free agent acquisition. Like, there's nothing you can do. He's just freakishly long and athletic and played really good in Detroit, but you can't do shit with him.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Paul George, anybody?
Oh gosh,
anybody seen him?
No, put him on the mail carton. Man.
I mean, they can beat Cleveland with no LeBron, but congratulations. So can every other team in the league.
I want to talk about a few like absolutely terrible moments. So I saw this play. This was from last night's game. Omer Asik not only scored zero and joined and retained his membership in the O-Mans, he had a pass go between his legs for like an easy dunk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Just incredible. And then Aaron Bain shot. The Aaron Bain shot was just I just want Aaron Bain shot to be a meme for the rest of the season of how not to shoot at the end of a game.
For sure.
It was absolutely terrible. Any other terrible moments that you guys remember?
Nah.
Okay. All right. So we will be right back with the three-man weave.
Swish.
Brick.
We are back. Hey, what's good, fellas?
What an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
I'm doing Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second candidate.
Say, grand question. No, I'm just saying.
Will crying LeBron replace crying Jordan in the memosphere this season?
We are back with the three-man weave. MTG, get us started this week.
Here we go. All right, to kick it off, after being an NBA Thursday, having some heated debates, trying to make some long-term points, some gambling debts appear out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I say, let's bring it to three-man weave. I wanted to drop some long-term bets.
Okay.
These are bets that are 1 year plus. We revisit them over time.
Okay.
Anytime that we have any movement on them, we're going to bring them back up in this segment going forward so y'all can keep track with us. And look, we're just going to do a friendly little wager, $20 each. You know what I'm saying? We'll put it
for
on the
sure.
line. So
done.
What I feel like is one of us is going to put out a bet.
Yep.
And we can say whether or not anyone wants to take that bet.
Okay.
All right, and we'll discuss it, break it down. We can talk about it, et cetera. So, first off, right here.
Yeah, drop your first bet.
Hot take. Dirk Nowitzki retires before Vince Carter.
Ooh.
Boom.
Remember,
Vince Carter's 72 years old.
Yeah.
He's in the original Land Before Time.
He is definitely.
That's when they had a dinosaur on the jersey.
Right.
And a live dinosaur in the stands.
Ooh. Now they just have inflatables.
Correct.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I can really
Nobody
say,
wants that one?
Say no to that. Because I think that's actually going to happen.
You think Nowitzki's going to retire?
Even though Vince Carter is, you know, 41, 42 right now.
That's not
so saying. What happens if they retire at the same time?
Well, it depends on the day, you know?
Hour,
minute.
I was going to go that deep on it. I was going to say, like, at the end of the season, if they both retire, that's a push. Yeah, I'm not going to be staking out anybody's crib.
I'll take it just for some action.
Boom. Beautiful. All right. That was less controversial than I thought. Y'all have some haters. Honda, what you got?
Oh, okay. You know what? I've been tracking this stat, and I'm going to roll with it. I believe that Portland will have the most overtime games of any team for the remainder of the season.
Whoa.
Or total
for
cumulative for the season.
Okay, I'll take you on that, even though I kind of agree or side with you.
Okay.
I'll take you on. You said the field versus Portland?
That's right. You get 29 NBA teams. He gets one.
Thanks.
I don't know if I want to, like...
Too late.
Give me odds. Give me odds.
I mean, the odds are you're going to give me 20 bucks.
Look, Ramble Gamble, you got
caught I'm taking it.
You get a chance to get your money back on this next one. It's also about Portland.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, what you got?
I think Portland might be blown up in a couple seasons, but I would say they might consider trading one CJ McCollum by the end of the season.
So you're saying they will?
Yeah.
That's your contention? CJ McCollum by the end of the season.
This season?
This season. You want that?
Are you going to take
this? I'll take it if you don't.
I'll let you have it. You can take
this one. I'm definitely taking that one. I don't think there's any way it's going to happen in this season. I think if somehow like Kevin Love or somebody were on the table, that's something that would happen. But they just have him on such a great contract, just signed him, you know, consummate professional. Mm-hmm. That's a good one, though. I like that. That's a hot take. Here we go. John Wall will get traded before he becomes a free agent.
I'll take it.
You want that one?
I'll take it. I don't love it, but I'll take it.
Well, basically, all I'm saying is that there's no way that he's going to stay in Washington, and he lets them know that.
No, he will let them know that. Like, it's just...
So, you're saying that he will get traded, and you're saying...
No. Time out. Reword exactly what you stated.
I said John Wall gets traded before he becomes a free agent. So you're saying instead of getting traded before his contract's up, he will go into free agency and select
a team.
And his contract is up in 2019.
I'm retracting my bet. He's way too vocal now. And he's angry.
I'm sorry, man.
Unbecoming of the rambling gambler.
It's okay.
No,
there's like so.
I will take almost every bet in this realm.
But that one's almost a for sure.
That one's almost a for sure.
I don't know.
One of Toronto, Boston, and Atlanta will be blowing up their team this season.
Toronto, Boston, and Atlanta.
One of those three. By blowing up, I guess I don't mean overhaul, which is actually the definition of blowing up. Yeah. It is a major piece gets moved, and
so you're saying there's a big one of them makes a big trade.
Let's rephrase it. One of Boston, Atlanta, and Toronto makes a splash at the trade deadline.
They pick up a player.
They pick up slash lose a key player too. I would say they make a huge splash by the trade deadline.
I'll take it. I think Toronto's in that discussion.
Well, so you're saying that none of them will if you take the other side of that. Do you know how gambling works?
Damn it. I'm so confused with that bet. I'm so confused with
one of Portland.
They'll either add or subtract. No, this is.
He's saying that a blockbuster trade will come from one of these three teams.
Okay.
And so you're saying that there will not be a blockbuster trade.
Never mind.
I will take that because I don't think any of them are doing that. No one's in the panic.
I don't think Atlanta and Boston will, but I. Okay. All good.
That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking that. I like the other side of that. Rambling gambler, step it the fuck up.
Okay, I want odds on this. I want odds on this because I'm going with a single pick again. I'm saying with odds that Steve Kerr will not win Coach of the Year.
Why would anybody take the other side of that? You're giving yourself 29 teams.
No, I'm just...
Yes, that's what you just did. You just said he will not win Coach of the Year, so you're betting that one of the other 29 will, and you want us to get locked into a Steve Kerr winning Coach of the Year pick for $20. What is in that cup?
Right. I'm not.
What's in that cup? What you got in that cup?
Fine. All right, moving on.
Scratching that.
Moving on.
I'm going to edit that shit.
That's fine.
Here we go. Miami lands a franchise player before Boston does.
Miami lands a franchise player before Boston.
And here's what I'm saying. That's not necessarily like a given or anything. Boston's got all the chips, all the pieces. They've got all the assets.
No.
Miami does not, but Miami has the god, the Don, Pat Riley.
I want $50 on that, too. I want $50 on that bet. I want $50 that Boston is going to land that player before Miami. All right,
but this is a long-term bet from now until the end of the season or free agency?
Forever. Until one of those teams lands a franchise player.
I'm in for $50 on this.
I feel like I failed you a little bit. I read it as like this season is a 1 year bet, like between now to the 1 year, not 1 year
damn.
Plus.
No, well, I mean that's
so
that's
whenever it happens, yeah.
It's just kind of like
it's my fault.
No, that's all good. No,
and
no.
then you don't even understand what gambling.
Nah,
means,
this
apparently.
Man has never gambled in his life. This right. is the Hambling gambler.
Continue on, sirs.
All right, here we go. I got the super hot take. The Lakers win another championship before the Celtics do. Boom.
As this will be a decade-long bet.
This is forever. I mean, we could drop more money.
I will
this.
Take this.
You want to take it at the 21, make it a
no, just raise,
make it $100,
raise
like,
it up. Raise it up.
This is like
raise
there's
it
a
up.
Lot of bias in me like saying this, but
raise it up. This
Boston
will be
a win over before Lakers.
It's a super hot take,
let's
right?
Go 40.
Boston's much closer.
Let's go 40. Than it's the a Lakers. Super hot take and you're giving me odds on that, but I feel like I'm making a bad choice by saying yes, let's do it.
Just do it. Just
I'm
do
gonna
it.
Hedge my bets by putting more money in the pot. $40.
I just love when D'Angelo Russell gets traded to Oklahoma City for Russell Westbrook in 3 years. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden the Lakers are title contenders.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
All right.
Boom.
I'm gonna make a legit bet this time.
Okay.
I don't know what happened before. Hassan Whiteside is going to average. He's currently over 16. I think he's going to end the season completely over 16, potentially over 17. So
whoa, he's gonna. So
boards,
his average
wow.
for the season is going to be at least 16. Is what you're telling me.
16.
So his boards. Average is going to stay.
I think his average will stay the course over the length. Well,
and so then he'll be the
at
season
the end
leading.
Of the season. At the end of the season, he's going to average 16 boards a game,
which would be what
Wilt Chamberlain numbers?
Yeah, like Dennis Rodman numbers.
I'm gonna roll with it.
You
I mean,
bet?
If you don't want to take it, I'm like,
I mean,
I'm ready to prowl.
I will take that without thinking twice, but I'll give it to you first.
I'm $100 in. All right,
boom.
Let's go.
Boom.
$100 on Whiteside.
Well, no, in total, I'm $100 in.
Oh,
if I accept this one.
Oh, you just want to raise it up, make everybody nervous on this
yeah,
Whiteside?
Yeah, all of a sudden,
bet?
I was like, yo, like, you didn't give me $100 on the Lakers, but you're taking $100 on Whiteside?
Yeah, no.
All right.
$20 on this
20
one.
Bucks on the Whiteside.
I'm doing
bet.
It.
All right. So it's six. It's a push at, no, it's 16 or higher for me.
And I win at 15.9
yes,
or less.
Yes.
Wow.
We'll go to
crazy.
The 100th on this one.
We will.
All right. Anybody got any last minute gambling hot takes before they want
to? No, I got. I'm gonna remember how to gamble before
thank
I
you.
Start on this next
segment. Yeah, you're
gonna
fucking meditate on this for a little bit.
Yeah, damn. Transcendental gambleation.
All right. On to the next one. Then here's what we got. I'm having this discussion in a bar.
Oh my god. All right.
We need to establish who the top 10 power forwards in the league are. Because here's the thing. I was making a point that Al Horford was a spectacular player by like sheer fact of nothing else that he's a top 5 power forward in this league. Top 5. And that Taj Gibson is a top 7 power forward in this league.
And
those
that's
are my,
what sparked
those, yeah,
the
those are my contentions. And so like we couldn't come to any agreement and nobody had all like player lists in front of them. So we wanted to break it down right now. Who are the top 10 power forwards in the league?
And I feel like
who
in,
we got.
I don't have like in order, but I just I have a list.
Okay.
As they came to me, right? It's like not saying like Kevin Love is number one, but Kevin Love is on my list.
Okay.
Kevin Love.
Okay.
Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Boogie Cousins. He's a power forward.
Is he?
What? Throw that off the list. That's a hanging Chad right there.
Paul Millsap. Hanging Chad, who are you? What kind of language do you speak?
Continue on.
Paul Millsap. Currently, Karl Anthony Towns is playing power forward. But maybe that's up for debate. Draymond Green.
Okay.
Dirk is still in the league.
Trousse.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Okay.
Even though he's coming off the bench, Zach Randolph. And even though he's injured right now, Derek Favors.
Woo! And those are 10?
Those are 10.
Ooh. So in some sort of order, those are your 10.
I mean, I even have Tristan Thompson, but I don't know if that's...
Kind of have him
he's
hanging
kinda, he's
on,
kinda,
on the edge.
He's a hanging Chad. Hanging Thompson.
So basically, I didn't hear Al Horford anywhere in there, so you disagree with my contention.
Isn't he a center?
I mean, is that what we're saying? Are we saying Al Horford is a center in this day and age, the year of our Lord 2016?
That's the reason why
the man
I made
is
this
like
list 6'8"? And left him out. Yeah, I know.
So, but here's the other thing. You said Boogie Cousins
I don't
was
think,
a power forward, but Al Horford's a center.
I don't think.
But don't they could, have? They have Kosta Kufos currently starting at center.
I mean, but here's the thing: you can play LeBron James as a center. You can put KD as a four. Does that make them those things?
Okay, I agree with you in concept that Al Horford is a natural power forward, but his entire career has been a center.
I don't know about that.
No, his entire career has been at center.
I mean, he's played a lot of time at center, but if you're asking me, is he a power
Zaza
forward
Zaza Pachulia
center?
Came off the bench in Atlanta. They had Paul Millsap.
If you put up...
Don't you smack your lips
man,
at me.
Look, if you had Hakeem Olajuwon and somebody threw Al Horford in the post, you would get that man out. You would not say he's a center. If you put David Robinson up against Al Horford, that would not fly.
Yeah.
The man is a power forward. You put him up against Charles Barkley, that's the same size man that he is. That's what's happening. All right, just because everybody's playing small ball and everybody's got, you know, midgets at the five, that means nothing. That means nothing to me.
I want you to fat check something. Go on some sort of site that's not porn and find out the height of Al Horford. I like that background image right now.
All right.
6'10".
What is that? Boogie is not 6'6".
I was obviously
is Charles right Barkley now? Is 6'6".
This is heated. I love it.
And what did you say David Robinson is 7'1"?
That's what I'm saying, is that you would never put Al Horford against these big centers. He would get eaten alive.
He's 2 inches shorter.
Again, would you, in your right mind, put up Al Horford against David Robinson?
If I were a GM, I would not have him in the center position, but his entire
Thank
career.
You.
Yeah. So that's why it sparked this debate,
forward.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I was asking you. So you didn't even have him on the list, and you gave me some technicality about him being a center, not about his skill level, about whether or not if he really is a power forward, if he belongs on this list.
Kansas has never started at center. They've always had a center. I'm sorry, man. You're rolling your hair. Fuck everyone's hair. Seriously. Can we talk about Noah Vonleh really quick and his hair? No, I'm kidding.
No, go.
I mean, I think that list is interesting.
Go to it. Go. Yeah.
I mean, if we're just talking about, like, again, we're going back to talking about who on this list.
This is before Taj Gibson even enters this list.
You didn't have Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson is.
By the way, I didn't even hear Blake Griffin's name
Taj.
On that.
Shaz.
That seems like an
Blake
entire
Griffin.
Huge omission. You want me to take you seriously about Boogie Cousins and Al Horford?
B. Griff.
Yeah, now you got like 12. Don't talk to me about it.
Errors and omissions.
I'm saying
errors
that
and omissions.
You're screwing yourself over.
This.
I guess I ignored Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And then there's Taj.
But you want.
He's like little man. This man. Little man Taj.
Huge slander.
No hair
right
Taj.
Now.
All right.
This is ridiculous.
All right.
By the way, can you order those for me, please, so we can figure out who's in the top 10?
Can't you see?
This man is scribbling on the paper.
Can't you understand?
This is incredible. All right. Hondo.
Yeah.
Looks like you have a very well-ordered list here. Looks like you have some thought put into this. Looks like you have some analysis to provide.
All right, so I'm going to drop.
What's your 10 look
I'm
like?
I'm going to drop
and
my 10.
And by the way, we can have a few extra sliding off the thing, but it's nice to know who's top 10 and who's on the edge.
Okay.
Hanging.
All right, I am putting Blake Griffin at number one.
Boom.
I'm putting Davis at two, Porzingis at three.
Porzingis at three.
Love at four. Ooh. I'm putting Randall.
Julius Randall.
I'm putting Randall way up there. I'm putting Randall above LMA. LMA drops in at six.
Damn.
Draymond Green at seven. Ooh. Al Horford at eight. Jabari Parker enters nine.
Whoa.
Wow.
Millsap at 10.
Wow.
You have a hard-on for this Julius Randall.
I'm seeing these young dudes all at the top. Porzingis at the three spot. He's the third best power forward in the league.
I'm looking at efficiency ratings.
You're telling me Porzingis is better than Draymond Green?
Right now,
that's what
he
you
is.
Just told me,
right, not last
need,
season,
nah,
not
got,
last season. This
got,
season,
really. You got.
I wouldn't
that
necessarily
one.
Disagree with Hondo because, in terms of efficiency, that includes points. Draymond's not actually really scoring anything this season.
Again, like
I still think. I mean, he's still on my list, so I can't like completely shit on Draymond Green here. He's still on my list. He's just. I think Porzingis is
and
a better
so,
player this season.
Kevin Love makes it to your four spot. Like, he's the third option on a team. Like, by the way.
Yeah, that's a little interesting, right?
Indiana beat them. Like, Kevin Love couldn't take on a little bit of additional role this week and play like the all-star that he supposedly is and beat Indiana.
Well, I mean,
that's
I don't know if you actually ranked them as one thing. Oh, you did rank them. Love is four.
That's what I'm saying. He's got Porzingis three, Love four,
that took
four,
me a while
Randall
to digest.
Five.
That's fine.
That's heavy.
Fine.
That's heavy
Beano.
On the young guns.
Take some Beano, man. Just digest it, man.
Digest it. So you really feel like the wave of the NBA, you know, we got the two guys up at the top who are, you know, I think that's pretty much undisputed, or it'd be difficult to dispute that. But yeah. Then, you know, three through
I was doing a lot of like player efficiency style rating on it. So yeah, I don't know. I could reorder this list again. Like, it's hard. I would Griffin and Davis, Porzingis, Love, like, they're staying in my top four. I think the other stuff might move around a little more.
That's fair. I mean, I just like that I have a couple names on here that neither of y'all have, okay. Which is excellent here. Number one, Anthony Davis.
Yes.
I just think that's it.
Yeah, and from a player efficiency rating, that he is number one. So
I definitely have Blake Griffin number two, and those two could be swapped back and forth. So you had Griffin at one. I think that's totally defensible. Draymond at three. The man, back-to-back finals teams, like the linchpin of that offense and defense.
I think the only ones that you have to qualify for is when and where you place Al Horford and Taj Gibson. Because Horford didn't even make your list.
No, he did.
Oh, he did.
He's at eight.
Boom. I've got LaMarcus Aldridge at four. Al Horford at five.
Okay.
Millsap six. Gibson seven.
Millsap six?
Six.
Okay. All right.
Taj Gibson, seven.
Okay.
Ibaka, eight.
Ibaka, eight?
Ibaka.
Gee has removed his headphones for those.
I mean, here's the thing. Just because you put him on a team in Orlando that already has 17 power forwards, like, all of a sudden he's not going to play as well when he's playing with KD and Russ. Oh, yeah. That's a real hot take, guys. Yeah, that's. I could never believe that Serge wouldn't play as well on a shitty Orlando team as he did on the world championship, you know, contenders in OKC. Right. So if you want to judge it on, like, what he's done in the first 4 weeks of the season and all of a sudden say he's, you know, in the last 80th percentile of the league, like, that's cute. That's a real hot take. So Ibaka can still, I don't know, block shots, shoot threes, get rebounds, do everything for your team. You put him back on a contending team. Like, you put Ibaka on San Antonio, all of a sudden, like, oh, now it's a whole different story. Now Ibaka is just this, like, world killer.
That hurts you even more.
You better write Ibaka on that list.
I have another list.
It doesn't hurt me, man. You forgot Blake Griffin existed.
This is your number seven. This is your number seven.
You do not know nothing. Whoop. I've got Porzingis at nine. I think he crashed the top 10
Porzingis
in the league. I got Zinger at nine. And then just out of respect, I've got Nowitzki at 10. Just because I think you got to. The breadth of the career, like, you know, is he a corpse right now? Yes. And so then just sitting on the outside, I had Kevin Love on the outside. But that dude is not the same player as he was in Minnesota. You can't say he's the top 10 power forward at this point in my mind. But so essentially, like, who did I have that you guys didn't? I didn't have Julius Randle in my top 10. I don't feel bad about that.
No.
Jabari Parker, I don't feel bad about that either. Mm. Who you even had on your list? You had some Chinese players and some Latvian dudes. Like, you were just.
I had a Derek Favors, who's probably not in consideration. But
Favors is in, like.
But he was a top
30s man.
By the way, didn't the Bulls just play Utah? Didn't Taj Gibson just put up some numbers and, like?
Derek Favors didn't play.
I would like to point to you a statistic from the player stats and efficiency ratings that Derek Favors does not even crack. The top 20.
Ooh, he hasn't played this season.
He doesn't crack the top 20. I don't. Come back with more stats next
okay,
week.
Okay, so now my list of 15 is now 14.
Great top 10.
Thanks. I put Towns in there, you know, which people can argue all they want.
I mean,
he's a
Towns will be there. You know, Porzingis will be higher on there. You'll get guys like Miles Turner.
Remember, you put Al Horford and Millsap in the same power forward list.
That's right.
Okay, they were on the same team for like 7 years. Okay,
right. Mm-hmm. But like, what does that even mean? Russell Westbrook has been playing with point guards his entire career, and he's a two guard.
All right, I'm not stepping into this.
Steph Curry and what's his name that plays on Indiana now? Monte.
Monte Ellis.
Yeah, they play.
Monte Ellis
was
never a one though.
But that's what I'm saying. But he still plays that position sometimes, like him and Jeff Teague. Like,
yeah, they do.
Monte Ellis is the Allen Iverson point guard. Right.
No, I just found it hysterical. I don't know. I laughed to myself and I had
heated.
To say it out loud.
Heated. All right.
I had a Zach Randolph. I guess I had Tristan Thompson in there.
It's debatable. I think, you know, if you're going to consider Boogie a power forward, he's got to be in that list.
If you're going to consider it, yes.
Yeah.
Zach Randolph, I mean, he's put up those numbers forever.
Yes.
And he stands next to Marc Gasol. So, yeah, he's playing power forward. But if you put him on any other team, is Zach Randolph Your power forward or your center?
I don't know.
So I'm saying.
Not sure.
So I guess, I mean, I wanted to bring this up just to kind of understand if I was so off base with Al Horford and Taj Gibson, but y'all didn't give me any reasons to think that I was. Three-man weave.
There is one more question for this three-man weave. Are we going to drop into it?
What's the last one?
The last one. Who is the next big man to win the MVP?
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
You want to do it? Let's do it. We've already dropped it.
Yeah, so we've already been in here talking about the best power forwards in the league. I mean, centers now are included, so it doesn't matter what position they're playing.
So if this is a power forward or a center,
yes,
for this qualification.
If
so,
the Pelicans get to that top seed at some point in AD's career while AD's on the team, I believe he's a MVP.
Top seed? Like one?
One or two?
I was gonna say, like, I don't think he needs to get to the top seed, but they just gotta be good.
Yeah. Otherwise, Mr. Man, Joel Embiid.
Will be the next big man to win MVP.
We're seeing a rise of big men, but I think it's gonna take a while before.
The only thing I see not happening faster than the Pelicans getting good is Philadelphia getting good. So that's not gonna happen. No, not feeling that.
Man. Okay. All right.
So okay. I guess that kind of.
That's so you're locking into Embiid or AD.
I'm locking into those two.
It's tough to go against.
I took
that.
The bias out of this.
it's tough to go out of that. I would actually say though that I would potentially throw Cat into the mix for an MVP contender, in which case Minnesota makes a run.
That's what I'm saying. He's got a better team. He's got a better chance of the voters, you know, putting his name in the hat. If they're doing extremely well, who are they going to say is MVP candidate on that team?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, Wiggins will probably play really well for them to be doing that too, so that might split some votes a little bit.
That's right.
I don't have any other players that I think can even enter that mix, at least for the MVP candidates.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're all young guys, so they all have the upside, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just about the future. And you're just looking at the landscape right now. It's like, who can win MVP this season, the next season? That's not one of these young guys. Yeah, it's not a thing. The only guy I think that potentially could is Blake Griffin.
Uh-huh.
If the Clippers keep this run going, if they end up somehow as the number one seed at the end of the season, Clippers is the number one seed. Like, I think Blake Griffin's got to get a lot of shine, a lot of look for that. You know, people aren't going to want to give it to LeBron for Cleveland, like what? Because they slept their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not going to be a thing.
The Golden State backlash
is going to be a thing. You're going to have the guards, right? You're going to have your Harden and your Westbrook. But if they're just like, if they're fighting for sixth and seventh place in the West, and then you got Clippers on top, I think Blake Griffin has a shot. He's the only big man that's got a shot right now, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah, and like the next couple of years.
Yeah.
If not this year.
Yeah, you guys are right, though. It's all about the young dudes. I mean,
so that's why I threw it up there, because it's like, it might not happen for a long time.
For another 5 years.
It's not as long as... So I do want to introduce one bet that MTG... This is prior to the podcast. MTG has the longest bet that I'm aware of. The number of years...
Here we go.
Explain this bet.
It's the number of movies, the over-under, that Shaquille O'Neal will not star in, but just be in the next 10 years.
In the next 10 years. This is the decade Shaquille O'Neal movie bet.
That's right. And I think I had seven, right? If he's in seven or more, I win the bet.
Yes.
And I think he was in like three as of the time of that bet being made, because the individual I was betting against couldn't be bothered to look up the information.
We'll have to do his IMDb.
That's what I'm saying. So we'll keep that tracking next time.
Tune in 7 years from now.
That's right.
On our weekly podcast.
Right in the pine.
All right. So this wraps up the three.
Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. Not novelty. Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. It's Seattle Connection. That Ancast Networks.
All right, and we're back with league activity for the week. So, not a lot of league activity going on. Not a lot of trades going on. Basically, we're in the midst of just regular gameplay throughout the season. I did want to talk about one aspect, though. We're getting, I don't know if it's completely finalized yet, but there are sections of the CBA that have been finalized. So I did want to talk just about a couple things that I am aware of on the new CBA structure.
Break it down.
They're going to be reducing the preseason by a week, which is, to me, I think that's a very positive step.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're going to be giving higher minimums for D-League players. So I think it was raising from like 40 or 50,000 to like 75 or 100,000 or something like that. So
that's great.
And then there's like changes to the cap hold structure, and I tried to get into the actual the cap holds and exactly how this works. And this is like, I don't know, it's like trying to read the tax code. It is not, it's not easy to understand. So I think there's going to be, there's definitely some changes. It just exactly kind of when trades, like what the caps are for certain teams and like when those trades can kind of be recognized. I know that they've intended to make the process for trading go much, much quicker. So I think we're going to see, I think we could see some deals close a lot faster next season. So when July comes around, just like, man, just get ready. It's just going to go off next season. Unbelievable.
Hamilton.
But I don't know. As soon as that like completely finalizes, I'm going to do a deeper dive. But I've just found a few stats kind of here and there. So getting into specific player activity, I'm not seeing hardly any movement at all. Not anything like to even report about. Because we're how far away from the trade deadline are we?
That's February, so
February?
A couple months still.
Approximately 122 days.
From an injury perspective, like there are some smaller injuries, but I haven't over the last week. I haven't seen any sort of like larger injuries kind of happening in teams. There's some other people that have kind of come back, like the Drew Holidays and whatnot, but we're not seeing any like long term multi month injuries happening. At least over the last week.
Some no-namer in OKC did suffer a concussion and a broken like jawbone or something. So
yeah.
He might be out for a while.
Oh,
Samaj Kristen.
Okay.
He's not really.
He's kind of like under the radar anyways. Yeah. From a fine perspective, I do want to talk about the fact that Noah Booker and Jennings are really I think it was Booker. Well, Booker got his first ejection this week, so they are putting up some reps. Not John Wall-style reps, but they're definitely putting in some reps. The other contracts, that I did see that Alonzo Gee he made the Nuggets for the rest of the season. And I don't know, journeyman Quincy Acey is out in Dallas. I didn't know he was still in Dallas. So.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was in Dallas.
Isn't he a founding father?
He might be.
John Quincy Acey.
He's the sixth president of the Players Association. Going to some lighter news. I don't know. The league, this is semi-lighter news, I guess. The league made this big deal about like several teams boycotting Trump hotels. I don't really care kind of where the players stay.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that they just stayed with like whatever girls they had in that city. So I didn't even know that they exactly stayed at the hotels.
Ha, boom.
I don't know.
You got to stay out of Trump hotels. You can't be a part of that. You don't know what's going on.
That's fine. That's fine. But I don't care. Like, stay wherever you want, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. But it should, like, it'll probably go into the other teams, too. And that's okay.
I think Mark Cuban went on record saying he hasn't put his team in Trump hotels in months.
That's good, because he was just a completely vocal opponent of them.
Yeah.
Now, well, Mark Cuban has his players stay in literal shark tanks when they're on the road. So I don't know.
Pitching my ideas.
Man, I ran across this high school kid, this Muhammad, I think it's Muhammad Bamba is his name. I sent a link to this in our Slack channel. This dude is incredible, and usually I don't kind of get into that the high school and college kids on this, but I'm like, they were saying his like wingspan is like 92 inches. I mean, he is just like, he is only behind Gobert for like length in his wingspan.
So that's like
right now,
8 feet.
Yeah, they're basically saying he's gonna go to school for like 1 year. And
feet wingspan.
Yeah, just gigantic.
That didn't even make sense to me.
What is 8 feet is 80? No.
8 feet is 96.
96. Over 7.5. That's really, really, that's huge width, man. Holy cow.
Well, that's cool. He's a high school player right now?
He's a high school player.
Okay.
He's basically going to be a contender for Naismith Player of the Year, obviously.
Wow.
Because he's like 7'8". Yeah, you know, that'll work in high school. So, the only thing, other thing in kind of lighter news that I've seen, like, for some reason, all the NBA players are behind the Dallas Cowboys for some reason. They're just, like, completely cheering them on and just, like, is the NBA going bandwagon on the Cowboys?
Dak Preston.
On Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Preston? Maybe. We've definitely seen a lot of comments from LeBron and others. So, but we continue to move on. So I want to get into a couple quotes for Did He Say That? I think this first one is important. This first one is important to us here in Seattle. So Russell Wilson goes on Twitter and says, I'm excited to announce that I partnered with the Sonics Arena Group to help bring the NBA and NHL back to the best fan base in the world. One, I don't care about the NHL, but I think that's really cool. I think we are taking some steps to kind of move forward in that process and getting somebody as high profile as Russell Wilson in the city to kind of back that cause that helps rejuvenate the fan base and get everybody started. Guy, break down this one from this quote from Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so Celtics rookie who I labeled as a bust, Jaylen Brown. They just recently played the Warriors, and I remember last season the Warriors were like 23-22-0 when they played Boston, and Boston went on this train of like making all these shirts being like 22-1 or 23-1 and
yeah,
going all off on them. So this season, around the same time, you know, around the same time, Golden State's having a pretty sick season so far playing Boston, and they were just like, look at us, you know, we're celebrating on top of the world, we're crushing you guys in Boston, and Boston, just Jaylen Brown goes, that was disrespectful. We'll see them again.
Just so what? But what actually happened? They were showboating, or what?
You know, like after a 3-pointer or something like that. Like they would just like go nuts, or
a Golden State Boston rivalry. What?
I guess I don't know.
All right. So continuing on with with Boston. So Isaiah Thomas was having not a great game or something, and he's basically talking to Brad Stevens. So he called Stevens at 3 a.m. to talk about some comments from the game, and apparently they had figured out everything from that game by like 3:05. I'm like, what? Why is this an issue?
Nah, that's because Brad Stevens has a very limited vocabulary, and he can only talk in sound bites that are bland and vanilla, and he can't actually express any personality in his vocalization. So by 3:05, it was just over.
It's funny though; they had a players only meeting, yeah, and Stevens was excluded from that, and they came out like hopping and whatever, and they lost the next game, and so then Isaiah Thomas went off and was like, "All right, I'm going to call Brad Stevens at 3 a.m.
I thought this quote from Isaiah Thomas was also interesting. Isaiah Thomas just commenting on the new NBA, he goes,
this is not the same Isaiah Thomas. This is the Detroit.
Oh, Detroit Isaiah Thomas? Yeah. Okay, but still, okay. He goes, our game today is not about artistry and origination. It's about shoot it 20 times from here. It's been broken into really a cold science, which takes emotions, feeling, love, passion, all those things out of the sport. I mean, I think he has a point to a certain extent, but there's still emotion. There's extreme emotion in this game. I get where he's going. He's saying that the game is becoming a lot more analytical, which it is, and you should probably try to shoot from here because that's where you're making all your shots. But
I just feel like we're smarter NBA fans, smarter NBA analysts, smarter NBA players and coaches, and they're just doing what's trending and thinking smarter about the game than they did in the 80s and 90s. So this guy is just trying to be this old retired person being like hating on the NBA.
I mean, I hate siding with Isaiah Thomas on anything in this world, but I would agree like 100%. I feel like right now there's a lot less chances that are being taken with teams and players.
That's right.
I feel like those analytics, if anything, yes, they will help you have success as defined by what success means at any given time, right? Oh, Golden State's running, you know, spread offense and shooting all these threes. All of a sudden, everyone wants to do that. All of a sudden, you got the Atlanta Hawks doing it, and so then, like, everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Right.
It's a bandwagon league right now. Back in the 80s and 90s, you just had a lot more originality. You had teams with identities that were not like other teams. You go into Portland and you face, you know, Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter and all these guys, Jerome Kersey. Like, you're going in there. It's a very distinct team that you have to game plan for, and they have their identity that is not the same as Houston Rockets with Hakeem and all these guys. Yeah, yeah. You know, their Twin Towers back when they had them in the 80s. Just, like, all these things. Like, there was a lot of different ways to play basketball. And now everyone says it has to be this way. Threes are worth more than two. The corner three is shorter. You know, post play is inefficient. You know, you have to pass the ball in these certain ways at these certain angles. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And I think that comes a lot from the players as well, in terms of you have all these guys that are coming out of high school and 1 year of college that are not learning the game in the same way.
They're playing the same way, yeah.
That's right. And so
it's mimicking what they see in the NBA.
And so they're coming to the league earlier, which is fine, but then they're being all taught in the same way by the same group of coaches over and over again in the same fashion.
That's an awesome point.
I just think right now you just see a lot of the same thing. When I watch basketball, I just see a lot of people who are really good at taking really bad shots.
Yeah.
Like the other night when we saw Phoenix beat Portland, and I was talking about, like, oh yeah, Dame Lillard reached on that steal, and then the guy made a fall, you know, a fadeaway three, you know, and happened to make it. Like, that's not a good shot.
No, it's not.
But like, you know, when you have Steph Curry who can make any shot at any place, everyone wants to mimic him, and I think that's going to be a problem. So people are going to take really bad shots. They're just going to be really skilled at taking really bad shots. It's not a good shot when you have a hand in your face and you're Kevin Durant and you can just jump over somebody so you can make it anyways. That's not as good a shot as if you actually put the ball on the floor, did a spin move, got to the bucket and dished it or dunked it. That's actually a better basketball play.
That takes
more skill and more thought and more originality. And I think these players don't take these chances because if they don't work, they're labeled ball hogs. They're labeled, you know, all these, oh, you're not following. You know, we know more because analytics now. Yeah, analytics has become a little bit of a straitjacket, right? It's the thing about, like, if you don't do something that conforms with our numbers, that you're doing it wrong.
You don't belong in this list that...
So I agree with Isaiah Thomas. I think there needs to be a more fuller... analysis of what it means to be a basketball player, what success means, what, you know, what is good and bad. There's not one right definition of what makes a great player, but I think we're all trending towards, like, oh, KD and Steph shoot the ball incredibly well, so that's what it means to be a really good basketball player. Big men that have, oh, you know, I can dribble and I can run the fast break and I can do all, like, I can do everything from every position. Like, is that what it means to be a really good big man? All of a sudden, Timofey Mozgov is not a really good center because all these other players can do these other things. He's still excellent at what he does. Mm-hmm. Enes Kanter can't play defense, but he's incredible with his back to the basket and in offensive post. But all of a sudden, because he can't do the things Karl-Anthony Towns can do, he's not a good player. Like, what are we, like, what, how are we evaluating
this? Is such
a
deeper conversation, like, about how they're taught, about how it's being exposed, about how they're absorbing, and how about they want to evolve into the NBA, and how players in the NBA want to get to that next paycheck, and how they behave with the coaches that have been basically diluted from one organization or the other one, you know, or another one organization. And to that point, dude, it's like, we don't have a Karl Malone in the NBA. We don't have a Hakeem Olajuwon necessarily in the NBA, or David Robinson. We have all these players that are playing very similar games.
Yeah.
When we have these radical players, we don't know how to use them.
And we don't know how to let them find their way and use their, you know, infuse their personality into their game.
If you put them in the corner of a three for a three that might not ever show, like, you're wasting Rubio's talent. Who
would Charles Barkley have been if you made him a stretch four?
Seriously.
Like, oh, so he's going to stand in the corner like Kevin Love now? That's not, you know, he was the round mound of rebound. The man was 6'6 and was playing power forward and, like, was one of the toughest dudes in the league. You don't get a Charles Barkley in this day and age.
You don't get a Dennis Rodman.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman would just wait out by that three-point line. He'd know.
Yeah, exactly, right? He'd get no playing time. So that's,
I love what you said really quick. I just wanted to say that Isaiah Thomas's point is there. It has a lot of merit, but I think it's also just an old guy kind of commenting on the league that he's not a part of, seeing a lot of efficiency being bestowed on the league, but it's not necessarily identifiable. You know, you have a CJ McCollum and a Damian Lillard, but they're playing the same way as Golden State and as an Atlanta.
And as Toronto. I mean, that's the thing about DeMar DeRozan, right? We have to have this question every week about, like, oh, can he still be a good player in the league? Because even though he can't shoot threes, it's like, the answer to that should be obviously yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to, like, guys like Rip Hamilton, who only had mid-range
games? I love Rip
Hamilton. That's what I'm saying, but that can't be allowed in this game. Oh, a long two? That's an inefficient shot. We can't have that. So when Isaiah Thomas says it's a cold science, and takes the emotions and feelings out. I don't see dudes with the same emotion that I saw back in the day. Obviously, there's things it's a lot of fake emotion, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't get in, I mean, obviously, like, you can't get in fights nowadays. Everybody gets flagrant for, you know, tripping over a shoe. Like, all these things, it's to me, it's not as fun to watch, right? Like, we have these great, incredible talents, but we don't let them fully express themselves. Sure. Like, it's a league now. It's a corporation. It's a machine. That's how I feel about a lot of these players. When I look at them play, it's like, yeah, you're a machine. You can make that exact shot that you're supposed to be able to make, but you can't do anything else outside of your comfort zone.
All right. We will tackle analytics and the breakdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that is definitely warranted for a much longer discussion and segment. I mean, you know, thanks, MTG and Gee for kind of breaking down into that, but yeah, we need to continue to look
something
at
something that doesn't need any time at all discussed. But Durant at halftime when they were playing on ESPN on Friday on Drake night gets bumped by Drake, gets pestered.
I thought this was so funny.
Gets continued to get pestered about like questions about Toronto and whatever, and then the last question is like, you know, how do you feel about playing on ESPN on Drake night? And KD goes, I don't give a damn about no Drake night.
Straight up to my face.
He was so angry. Yeah, he was so angry.
He was really cool.
So I do want to conclude with the last kind of quote for Diddy say that today. And so MJ commented on Westbrook, and I thought this was a cool comment. When I watch him play, I see a lot of resemblance of his passion for the game of basketball for the way I played. I think that's a huge compliment.
It's a huge compliment, but is that true? I wanted your take on that.
In terms of, what do you say, a lot of the passion for the game?
Yeah.
I think it's very similar. And, like, we had this conversation before the season about who takes on the mantle, the Black Mamba.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. And he took that mantle on from Jordan about just, like, who wants to win no matter what.
Yeah.
I think that almost goes back to the conversation we were just having about, like, Russell Westbrook is a different player who doesn't fit in these boxes that we've constructed. Yeah. And everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Right? He shows the emotion. He shows the passion. His game is not cold science. His is, you're in my way. I'm going to dunk on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to spin on you. I'm going to do everything to win this game. And that's why Russell Westbrook, when he plays, it looks so different every time he's out there, right? You don't know where he's going to be, how he's going to shoot, how he's going to move, where he's going to pass. That's excellent. When I go and watch Golden State, I know where Steph's going to be. He's going to shoot the shot. I know where KD's going to be. And that's great. And, you know, I love watching Golden State, but when we talk about individuality and passion for the game, Westbrook, he's got the mantle.
So he's like a 2016 version of Michael Jordan. That's pretty interesting.
Nah, we ain't saying that.
I always thought of Michael Jordan as a very cerebral player, just like doing the shot, making the shot, making a fist bump or something. He never like celebrated.
Young MJ had his moments.
Yeah. But like, Russell is like every shot matters that much.
That's true.
He's on the bleachers half the time. You know.
Russell Westbrook could have played back in the '80s and nineties.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that for every player in the league.
No, definitely not. Cousins could have played too.
And all bad right. boy Nick Stauskas could.
Nick Stauskas. All right. We're going to be right back with the Ramblin' Gambler.
Whoa! Man. Ramblin' Gambler here. Ramblin' Gambler.
Yeehaw! Back with the Ramblin' Gambler for this week. Week 4 of the NBA season. So, oh my goodness. Where do I even start? Let me just start at the top. Building off from last week, Indiana cannot be relied on for anything. Paul George is completely missing in action, is going to require a search and rescue team pretty soon here. Man, absolutely terrible trying to predict where he's going. Charlotte is completely up and down. It's like trying to play the stock market, trying to figure out what Charlotte's going to do. Frank Kaminsky's, like, the only thing that I can bet on is Frank Kaminsky's love for Skittles. So that is the only thing that I can bet on for Charlotte. The Pelicans are getting serious again, and I don't really know how to take that. I think I've had to get on some medication trying to predict that they're actually winning games again. I do know that they got better with Jrue Holiday. However, I'm just really, really skeptical that they're going to continue to win games. For some reason, he cannot get thrown out of this top spot, and it's just driving me absolutely insane. DeMar DeRozan is still leading the league in points, in a very, very, very competitive league, and even over Harden, who's just continually just shooting all the time, absolutely all the time, and DeMar DeRozan, it's just because he plays insane minutes. Absolutely insane minutes. So he's going off. I want to bet on him, but by the time I feel like I'm going to bet on him, he's going to go cold on me. I just do not know what to say. I am completely on board the Whiteside train. I'm completely on board the Whiteside train. And if you listen to the three-man weave this week, you understand that. I'm definitely putting my money where my mouth is here. And I think he's going to continue to run the board express.
And where's your mouth?
Get out of here, man. This is my segment. The Knicks, dude. Gee bet against me on the Knicks, and we'll get into that game next week. But man, the Knicks are just completely spotty up and down. They definitely can make the playoffs. Obviously, it's still very, very early, but they are completely up and down. I don't know when to back them. Don't know when to kind of pull back. Gee and I are always on different sides on the Knicks, even though I do have some Knicks paraphernalia, but it is not worn very much because it just gives me anxiety. The Magic are still potentially in playoff contention, which is absolutely insane to me. I think the Magic are sitting at, the Magic are at 6-7, putting them, you know, all the way, they're basically tied, 7, 8, and 9 are tied in the East right now. The Magic making the playoffs is just, it's a dystopian state that I don't understand. So, but boy, when you start to go lower, Detroit is absolutely just dragging right now. The Bucks are playing better than their record actually attests. So it's very hard to bet on them. The Heat have basically died in South Florida where other old people die. So I guess it makes sense. The Nets, obviously the Nets are a JV basketball team, somehow made it into the NBA. So you know what? That's fine. The Wizards actually have performers, but how the hell, like, even betting on like points for John Wall and Bradley Beal, like I just cannot get behind them to actually win a game. And neither can they. 76ers are just a crapshoot. I feel like they can, on their finest nights, they can play with Cleveland. They could play with the Warriors. But it's completely variable. Just bring your dice and just roll it. Figure out what you're going to bet on that night. So, this is Hondo. I'm running about 65% in my picks for the season. So, I'm gonna keep following. So, watch us every day. Hashtag RTP picks. So Guy and I are basically betting on every single game. 1,230 games. Everything is coming at you every single day. But you get a slight reprieve this week. There is no basketball on Thursday due to the Thanksgiving holiday. So
go spend some time with your family on Thursday.
I'm watching Space Jam. Getting right back in the mood and gathering my extra gambling picks for the next games. All right, this is Honda with the Rambling Gambler. Out. All right, so we're going to close it out with our games of the week. I think our RTP game of the week is Raptors versus Clippers.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do you guys agree on this pick? Did you guys look at other games coming up for this week?
What's basketball?
I agree with this pick. What is basketball?
Oh, we're getting to the tail end of our episode, are we? No, I honestly think this is going to be a very, very good game. I hope so. I think the Clips are just running too hot, though.
Is it in L.A.?
Huh?
Is it in L.A.?
Oh.
Is it in L.A.?
I believe it's in L.A. Like, I just heard...
You understand the words that come out of my mouth?
No, I just heard N.L.A. and I was like, I don't know what that meant. So, three other games. Okay, I think the OKC versus the Lakers this week is a fairly decent game. I think the Spurs versus the Hornets is a game that I want to watch, and I do want to see the rematch of the Lakers versus Golden State, especially after that blowout by the Lakers.
Boom.
Am I saying that?
Lake show. Lake time.
Okay. I do have to give my public service announcement to a few games coming up this week, which are not very good. The first one, well, the games as we're recording today on the 20th are not spectacular. However, there's a few other games coming up. Magic play the Mavs in what I believe can be a nominee for worst game of the year.
Wow. That's, I mean, you wouldn't even go with something like Philadelphia Mavericks? You think Orlando Mavericks is up there for worst game of the year?
Oh, it's potentially up. It's a nominee. That's also a nominee. Right, so there's probably about five or so that can make that. There's probably a Brooklyn Indy game that is definitely on in that potential. The Suns play the Wizards. I do not like this game. The Wizards and Magic.
Ooh, Wizards Magic is terrible.
I do not want to watch that. Oh, time out. The other game that I said is a potential nominee for worst game of the year, that is coming to fruition.
Actually
this week. So the Nets will take on the Pacers, and no one will show up.
Take your batteries out of your remote. If you're wireless, break your TV.
Just break your TV. And that has been our public service announcement.
Yes.
For week 4 of the NBA season, episode 14, Guy, you know what? We're going to be back with week 5 next week and more heated debate. I'm Hondo here with MTG and Guy.
Yahoo!
Thanks for joining us. Peace out.
Marc Gasol has a Twitter account, apparently. Marc Gasol tweets a lot, but none more than this one that was liked, retweeted about 20,000 times. After his game winner Wednesday against the Clippers, he posts a picture of him doing the dance. I want to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Woo!
Branson.
This has been a Vencast Studios production.